Hey, lovers and friends, I'm Val.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this is My Perfect Romance.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
What about all of you?
Or how about my sweet love?
I think we all have a different idea about what romance is.
Well, what is the perfect romance?
Gosh, I don't know, but let's find out.
Yeah, so I'm Lisa. This is my voice.
And the chipmunk over here, that's Val.
The chipmunk.
This is, oh my gosh. I'm Courtney. And we're doing a podcast called My Perfect Romance.
Yeah.
We're really excited about actually just having an opportunity to be together.
I know. We're at weird stages in life right now.
Yeah. So we've been friends for over a decade.
Yeah.
And we've raised our babies together, and we've been each other's kind of soul. We've kept each other's souls alive. Yeah. And so we're all kind of at a stage where our kids are grown up now and starting to leave the nest, and all of us are kind of going in different directions, and we wanted to have a reason to stay together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We started as a mom's group.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't exist back then.
No,
well, I wasn't around. I didn't lie.
Like, there's this whole God story that goes with that. And then the angels
kind of
appeared. Came down and gave us this.
Val and I have children the same age. Yeah. And
Lisa too.
Lisa too. But we had our babies and were in mom's group. And it was such an amazing thing to just have one day a week where you were with other parents.
Oh yeah.
And the kids could just run wild.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And our group really was.
So when you guys were doing that, I was in New York.
Yeah. You weren't around.
You were in New York.
With hubby finishing school up and I was working.
Yes. Yeah.
I wasn't around.
You weren't around, but we enjoyed each other so much that when our kids started
going to kindergarten,
elementary school,
and preschool,
that's about the time I showed up.
Then Lisa and I,
we turned our group into a book club.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you came,
which
around.
Is still going strong.
Oh yeah,
we still have. I love book club. Me too.
You know, even we do our book grub.
I mean, it works for me.
Our book club and our podcast, but. We, our book group is, so Valerie moved into a house and it was right a couple of houses down from
Lisa. Actually,
it was
the
reverse.
No, it was the reverse. Yes.
When I very first moved to this area, I didn't know anything about it.
No.
And I didn't want to move here.
Originally, I was in the condos.
Yeah.
But then she moved
to the house over on here.
Yeah. And Lisa wasn't in the picture yet.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
But I moved here Livia's kindergarten year and met Val as
in
Zumba,
multiple ways.
Oh.
We met in three different ways. Yeah. Zumba.
The kids' swim lessons.
And then her and I would pick our daughters were in the same elementary and kindergarten class.
Mm-hmm.
And so Lisa,
I'm like,
why do I
keep running into you? Why are you everywhere?
Yes. And then we got to the point where, like, if I was running late to pick up the kids, Lisa would hang out.
Oh,
with...
I was always the late one.
And
are
so
you
I
kidding
would.
Me?
So Livia, you
really?
And then...
Yes, because I was like cramming in 8 hours of work into a 6-hour day.
Yes,
that's just how it was, and I just was rushing every single time to get. I can't tell you how many times I got pulled over and ticketed. On the way to pick the kids up from kindergarten, half day kindergarten. It was so hard to squeeze it all in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would, I got permission to basically pick up Livia.
She is now my child's mom.
Yes. But the lunch lady just was like, oh, it's the Valerie Lisa combo.
Yeah,
and so we became friends there. And then she busted me at swim lessons, drawing floor plans. And she's like, oh, are you like having a house? I'm like, no, I'm just a nerd and I'm doing this for fun.
Like, that's what I do. I love to draw floor plans. We fell in love.
So then we fell in love. And then the house, she's like, okay, well, I guess we're going to buy a house in San Juan. I'm like, there was the one 2 doors down from my house.
Which
like,
is fun because we were looking at houses.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know where we were going to live. And it was between that and the house Eva lives in.
That's so funny.
We narrowed it down to those two.
There wasn't
a lot available at the time.
No.
And so the kids just loved the idea of being right near the school. Mm-hmm. And having the mailbox right on the front of the house. They're like, we'll get the mail for you every day. Because at the time we had to like drive down the street to, or like walk down the street to like one of those big mailbox things.
Uh-huh.
So how did you end up being coming to book?
I brought her into the group. Yeah. I take full credit.
She does. Thanks.
I brought Lisa into the group.
It's weird though, because for the first couple of years of me living here, it was probably the worst time in my entire life.
Yeah.
Going through a lot of awful stuff. Mm-hmm. And surviving it still intact, marriage wise.
Yeah, which is incredible.
I have to say, I look at both of you women and I think what incredibly strong humans and well adjusted humans you are, especially after some things you guys have gone through. Just you come out of it so beautifully, and I'm so proud of both of you. You're just amazing humans, and I am very fortunate to have you as friends.
It's because we have friends like you, and you're the same way. Like, you are one of the kindest humans I've ever met.
I know. Anytime that I'm like, what do? Courtney has the wisdom.
You're so nice. Like, I'm all like, so I can't put fire ants in their bed? And you're like, no, Valerie, let's not put fire ants in their bed.
That's really good.
And I'm like, but it's just fire ants.
Right. Let's just come down from that.
Yeah.
She's the voice of reason.
She is the voice of reason. She's like, let's look this with love and compassion. I don't want to.
No. Yes.
And then also, like, so Courtney, before Lisa came to picture, Courtney and I would always go running in the morning at 5 o'clock in the morning. We go running together, and it was like therapy session every morning. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. 3 days a week, we'd have our hour running therapy session. And
should we tell everyone what sold the deal, like, with you and
oh
I?
Oh, my God. I'm not
a runner. I
this
hate
is good.
Running. But Valerie was like, it's not that bad. You might like it. Why don't you give it a try?
Well,
I can teach you how to pace yourself, and you might
Yeah, because
enjoyable.
Courtney taught me how to do that, because I was like, I'm
yes.
the same way, because... Like,
so
she
passed down
the
wisdom to me. And I actually still hate running. I do it.
Well, I can't run anymore.
Even if there's a bear, I'm like, forget about it.
Oh, yeah. But this is how I knew Lisa. Lisa was, you know, like, she can come into our world and be part of our life, because we were running and it was wintertime.
Or was it early spring?
It was
early
spring.
Because we had to have gloves on because it was cold outside.
Yeah.
I swear that spring. There were moose everywhere.
Oh, my
gosh. So we
gosh.
Were always on the lookout for moose.
Yes, this is true. And so we were running
were
the five loop along the Dover path and then up, you know. So we were running that because I'm like, Lisa, you can run
the
5 miles. You can just, I know you can do it. We're just going to
go. She'd see me, like, bust a move and zoom.
Oh, my gosh. She's, like, such a sexy dancer. I'm like, I, like, I grew on that ass a few times. So we were on the Dover Trail and my coffee kicked in.
Well,
in
you had taken two double espresso shots right before the run. Let's just say.
I've got to visualize. What time was
it? I think it?
It
was late at night. It was dark out.
So it was
a
nighttime.
Like
six-ish?
Was,
and so maybe between 6 and 7.
Yeah.
Okay. At some point, yeah.
But I live on caffeine. This is like, coffee is my true love. I mean, and then I have an amazing husband. But coffee, it's close. Like, it's you know, like.
And I use coffee when I'm needing to, like remedy a obstructed bowel. We'll just say it that way. I'm like, coffee is my medicine for that.
Yeah.
I don't need it.
And coffee is my love in life.
Okay, so two double espresso shots before.
Yeah, before my dog.
Oh,
yeah.
The dog.
Yeah, so anyway.
I kept my step.
Everything was going to, you know. So we were going in. We were up in a place where there was no facilities anywhere nearby. So I found a facility tree.
Yeah.
And
I'm like, I'll be the lookout.
And so, yeah.
Fine.
For moose, not for people, which is.
Yeah,
just...
we were looking out for moose.
And we do, for people who are listening, we do live in an area where there are, it's not just
the kids
houses,
get called
housing.
In because
it's,
of moose on the playground.
Yeah.
Yes,
and
yeah.
From
and
school.
Yeah. We, you guys can be on a run and be in semi-wilderness at points.
Yes.
Yes.
So
yes.
It's not like you're just in a neighborhood running and this happens.
You might start in a neighborhood.
Yeah.
And
you could kind of go into some
wilderness
areas.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's beautiful.
This is kind of like a little slice of heaven here. It's gorgeous.
It's like heaven. In fact,
but you shouldn't. We're not going to say the name of the town right now because we don't want anyone else coming.
No.
It's wild. Okay, so you're on a run. You found it.
I found a Priscilla tree, and it was kind of the time of year where there weren't enough like greenery for me to find some leaves to help, you know, alleviate.
Yeah,
the faucet that I had become.
I've only known her for about 6 months at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you had already moved in next door.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You know,
did move it pretty quick.
Yeah, you did. And so I had to use my 50-cent cotton gloves.
You know.
To help alleviate my situation.
Because mm-hmm. there were no good leaves yet.
Yes. And then my situation kept continuing. And I was...
And wait, there's more.
But wait, there's more. And then I was like, I don't know what to do, Lisa. I'm like, I don't know what to do. And Lisa's like, I gotcha. And then I knew I was in love when Lisa handed me her 50-cent pair of cotton gloves.
Do what you will.
And I, really,
and I don't need them back.
Yeah. I was like, so I knew that Lisa was a keeper when she gave me
I
her
literally took
gloves.
The gloves off my hands for you.
She did. And and you want to know what I did with them? I just wiped my ass.
Oh my
and then I knew
she
I was in
we would never tell anybody about this. And yet,
yeah, this is
are.
Our this is our love story.
And yet you're telling everyone who wants to.
I know. Like, this is our
so
how I fell in love with Lisa.
Well, so we've all been friends for such a long time. And last spring, I think it was. No, it was last fall. We went on a bike ride. And my genre of books is psychological thrillers. is what I usually love to read. But it was getting to a point where I was like, I can't do this anymore. It's just too heavy.
It makes the world feel darker.
I'm going to spend the summer reading romance novels, which I did. There were some good ones, and there were some really bad ones. And when we went on this bike ride, I was explaining to you guys how I wish that there was something out there that would help narrow those options down. So when it's hard when you're looking for a type of romance novel or even a type of any type of book.
Yeah.
Like this is the kind of book I want to read, but how do I find it?
Yes.
So we kind of, and we've always talked about doing a podcast of some sort.
And it started at your house, I feel like. Like the first time I ever came over to your house for book club.
Yeah. Yes, I remember that.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
It was kind of really fun.
And we were thinking about trying to do a choose your own adventure.
Erotica.
Oh, erotica. Yes.
We were like, let's write an erotica together.
So she always did romance.
And we've always just joked about that forever.
Yeah. Yes,
yeah,
it's been a long time.
But instead of doing that, we're like, let's help other people find good, maybe erotica, romance. Mm-hmm. Let's figure out what your favorite kind is.
Yeah.
So this is kind of an adventure to figure that out, which is why it's like, well, my perfect romance looks like this.
We're kind of we'll be going through the process also of like, what kind of romance do we individually like?
Yeah.
Therefore, maybe our listeners can find the type of romance.
Yeah, I think we all kind of have slightly similar but different tastes for sure. Yeah.
Well, and I think one thing that's kind of neat too is our listeners don't know this, but we are retro recording the first book we read today because we were learning how to do everything. We were learning how to do everything and we thought we were recording.
Oh my gosh.
We weren't recording. So we're kind of going back in history to re-record our first podcast right now. And so as we've evolved this discussion and our podcast itself, we've decided to incorporate other aspects, not just book reviews.
Yeah.
So we've decided that we were going to add in interviewing couples about their romance because Lisa and I work in therapy. And so our favorite thing about rehab
hearing love stories
is asking patients about how they met and And especially because we work with a lot of elderly.
Somebody in their 90s that's been together for like 60 something years. I'm like, how the hell did you do that?
Oh, yeah. Because
there are times that I'm like, whew,
yeah. And you see, them when they're going through these life-changing experiences with strokes and you know, just their bodies breaking down and the love that they have for each other. And you just wonder, how did they create this bond?
It's pretty cool to see.
It's amazing. And even when they start going with dementia and stuff like that, how even when, you know, their bodies and their mind capacities and everything change, how their bonds stay strong. And so to us, it's just been such a beautiful thing. So we incorporated in interviewing people about love, and not just elderly people who've been together for 57 years.
I want new love, old love.
Exactly.
Tough love.
Yeah. And so it's just an exploration of love. In that venue, we've also decided that, you know, there's a lot of great movies out there for discussion.
Yeah. I think that rom-coms kind of took a backseat for a minute. And I feel like they're coming back again. Yeah. Late 90s, early 2000s, there were so many good rom-coms.
There were.
Like Drew Barrymore and Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, absolutely.
Those were my favorite.
And
Meg Ryan.
So many. And then they kind of went away. Yeah. And now they're making a comeback.
Well,
I'm excited.
And just how I was feeling last summer, it's just been some dark times in the world.
Absolutely.
And still kind of is an uncertainty of where our world is going. It's scary and it's dark. And anything that I feel like
escapism.
I want some light in the world.
What makes us happy and motivated is love.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, doesn't every human being strive for love?
That's what.
And
all we need is love.
But it makes us happy. And
figuring out how to attain love and keep love and give love and receive love
It feels good. This is such a fun thing to explore with both of you. How fun is it to just watch romance movies? I get to tell my husband, I'm like, this is work.
Yeah, I have some homework.
I'm working right now. I have to watch this.
Does Ben like, I'll watch it with you?
No, well, he does, but he falls asleep.
Yeah, I was about to say, can Ben make it through one? That would be so cute. Ben is the man who takes he works his butt off all year, and then he takes 3 weeks off to go kayak through Alaska. Like, he's a man's man.
He has no patience for a lot of things. So, yeah, he'll just sit down to watch one of these movies with me, and then he falls asleep
I struggle with almost any movie, unless I'm like fidgeting and doing something else, because I'm a go person.
Yeah.
So I am guilty of trying to watch The Lord of Rings for like 10 years and not being able to get through it, like falling asleep. And everybody said, you have to watch it. It's so good. I just couldn't do it. Maybe it's sci-fi fantasy I don't love.
The different kinds, yeah.
Yeah, I can't do it.
Well, it's fun. It's lighthearted. It makes me feel good.
Yeah.
Even we just like the Luna. What was the book we just listened to?
Luna.
No, this is a preview of what's to come.
Yes. Well, yes, exactly.
Yeah, we're going to do paranormal romances for October, because why not holiday romances?
Yeah.
We want to celebrate LGBTQ month. We want to celebrate going to school, summer love,
and you know,
all sorts.
It's really fun. I would probably, not really listen or read or watch some of these things.
Yeah, absolutely.
But because we are, it's so fun and it feels good.
It
feels happy and it feels
I love that I have to do it. It's true. Like the book we're reviewing today.
I want to do one more thing that we thought evolved to do. So we're going to review books, we're going to review movies, we're going to interview couples. And we know that it's not possible to get out and interview all the couples that have a great story to share.
Yes.
So we really would love for people to go check out our website, myperfectromance.com. Easy to find. It's the title straight up with all the links to different things we've got going on. If you want to like us and rate us and review, like, you can do that there, but you can also submit your own fun little love story. And I don't think it has to be like, I would love to share like my love story with my siblings, like, because I love them. And just the joy that we've found as we've grown older and come together. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't have to be a romantic love. I just want stories of love, fun little stories about like how you were shown love or given love.
Or how you learned a love lesson, you know, because we all have those moments where we're just like, that was a real aha for me. Like, I didn't realize there was that layer. And this is how I grew.
Yeah. And we're sharing our, basically, we've just shared our romance as friends.
Mm-hmm. We've gotten each other through our ups and downs. Yes.
Oh, my goodness. I would not be here if it wasn't for you two ladies.
True that. Yeah. So that's what we're all about.
Yeah. And I love that you said that, too, because we are also going to be reviewing letters, and we'll also do some historical love letters between people and talk about how love presents itself in so many different ways. So we just really want this to be a very upbeat, kind of fun. We're all kooky in our own little ways. You know, we're not perfect people. We don't expect perfection from anyone, but I think that just finding love in the world the way it is and just being honest is just what we're striving for.
So, and I will say, I don't want to see people who don't want to tolerate different views of what love is. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to have a really, like, that's why we're calling it My Perfect Romance. We're all figuring out what that is and learning and evolving. So mm-hmm. I think if there's, I don't know if I get a sense of like any haters out there, like, we're just not going to project that. Like, just not doing it.
But I will make fun of bad writing. or you know, like, pompous attitudes, because I think that's so funny. Well, and you can make fun of me when I have a pompous attitude.
It's okay if there's bad writing or characters we don't like. That's just part of what makes, you know, characters.
So I think that this goes right into this very first book. We're like, let's just do a quick read. This one is on Audible, 3 hours. And
Super quick.
And when
it is entertaining.
It is
entertaining.
So just even the process really for the us to figure out how to do a podcast has been, mm-hmm. was a very long one.
Yeah. We've spent more than 3 hours of that book.
Figuring out how to hit record.
We already reviewed this book, but didn't record it. We thought we were recording it, but didn't.
Yes.
True. Yeah.
So we thought it would be fun to revisit, and
because we all kind of loved it for similar reasons, because it's so entertaining.
There's
and
so
the characters
much.
Are so unreliable. Like, they're so unaware of themselves.
Yes.
That it's very laughable.
Lots happens in it this does. Short
Yeah.
And it is such a quick read that it can't be, you don't get a lot of backstory, you don't get a lot of things. And then it's also, I know, Courtney, you're going to give us kind of a little bit more of a rundown, but it's also kind of fun too, because it's such a quick story with not a lot of background. And then you add on top of it, it's college students.
And the best one-liners.
Oh my gosh, the best one-liners ever.
We have a list. We could just do a podcast of the one-liners.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, it's great. So, thank you, Colleen Hoover.
Yeah, yes. This book is Maybe Not by Colleen Hoover. Mm-hmm. And the summary says, Colleen Hoover, the New York Times bestselling author of It Ends With Us and Maybe Someday, brilliantly brings to life the story of the hilarious, charismatic Warren in his new novella.
Novella is just a short novel, which is accurate. It's only like 3 hours.
Yeah. When Warren has the opportunity to live with a female roommate, he instantly agrees. It could be an exciting change, or maybe not, especially when that roommate is the cold and seemingly calculating Bridget. Tensions run high and tempers flare as the two can hardly stand to be in the same room together. But Warren has a theory about Bridget, Anyone who can hate with that much passion should also have the capability to love with that much passion. And he wants to be the one to test his theory. Will Bridget find it in herself to warm her heart to Warren and finally learn to love? Maybe, maybe not.
So reading that summary, we were kind of like, oh, I don't know about that. But now I'm thinking, like, the whole book is written from Warren's perspective.
Yeah.
So it's a female author trying to encapsulate the way a man thinks.
And not just any man, a 20-year-old college student.
20-something. Which I wonder, was he like 23, 25?
Is he that old? Is he that old?
Well, he's in college, so maybe
he's been going for a little bit.
Yeah.
But still at it.
20, maybe 21, 22.
I mean,
So young
20s. Young
20s,
yeah.
Yes. And I just love, like, thinking back to that time in my life. It was such a good time.
It was, you know, things were not so serious.
Uh-huh.
I was so serious.
And you had your future ahead of you.
I was a bit of both.
Yeah, you at 21 were married and had babies.
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I didn't mess around.
Yeah.
She got right to it.
Oh my gosh, that's a whole other backstory there, but yeah.
So, Warren is living with his two best child friends.
And they're brothers.
Yes.
Yes. The two best friends
are brothers. They, I think that their father kind of abandoned them, mm-hmm. and Warren's parents took them in and raised them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One is deaf, but the two brothers are very musically inclined. Mm-hmm. And all three of them kind of start this band.
Mm-hmm.
Warren is the manager of the band.
And he's not musically inclined.
No.
He just makes sure they're getting to their shows and things are booked. And
The brother who is deaf writes the music, and the other brother is the frontman for this band.
Yeah.
And the story starts out with the front singer, the frontman, the one brother, he
owns the house.
Yeah, they own the house, or they're managing the house, and they let Warren stay there for free because he is their manager.
Yeah.
But he's going away and tells Warren that they have a new roommate. And it's Bridget.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, he actually doesn't even learn about Bridget until she's moved in.
Yeah, he doesn't tell her. So the way that Bridget and Warren meet is the shower is actually running.
Mm-hmm.
And I do question whether or not Warren can't hear or not, because I know when a shower is running and I don't necessarily go and interrupt that.
Well, but this is all, this book is written from Warren's perspective, where he's amazing in his viewpoint. I mean, this man has a very overly healthy self-esteem.
He's got a big
ego.
And I'm pointing at my crush right now.
Well, to quote
her, we're all about it.
Yes, we do. But, you know, so from his perspective, he just wakes up in the middle of the night and needs to take a piss. So he goes into the, he just goes into the bathroom, oblivious to the universe, and takes a piss.
While someone is showering.
Yeah.
And she just got off work.
Yeah.
And she works at Hooters.
Mm-hmm.
And
so she's taking a shower.
And she gets to see her totally naked. And let me tell you, she's hot and perfect in every way. But she's pissed that he interrupted her shower.
Which, rightly so. Like, this guy just barges in and is taking a piss in the room that you're taking a shower in. And you're vulnerable and naked. And then he yells at her.
Complete stranger. Yeah.
Yeah. So then he yells at her. It's her fault that she's there. And
he has no idea that she was there.
Yeah.
So then that's when he reaches out to her friend. He's like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
After yelling at her for him barging in on her shower.
Yeah.
But it's
even in
her
the middle
being
of the
a
night,
bitch to him.
I know that when someone is showering.
I know. But this is just, this is our main character. This is our main character. And this is prevalent throughout the entire show.
It's
how
obvious.
It's always, he does something that's inappropriate, But somebody else's reaction to his inappropriateness makes them
the bad guy.
The bad guy.
Yeah. Yeah. So
well, then he doesn't need to ask his friend, like, what's going on? Why is she here? And he just says, I'm helping her out. She's in a bad space. I'm helping her out.
Yeah.
And for a long time, Warren can't quite figure that out.
He's well, like,
why
yeah.
would you do
and
that?
Warren,
to some random
Warren
girl.
Doesn't even pay to live here. And he is questioning the person who's letting him live here for yeah. free, letting this girl move in.
And why is she in a bad place right now? Because I think she's supporting her family. She needs to get away from them because they want her to keep making more porn.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because it helps support the family. And so Warren
and
overhears
kind of
her
foster
her,
family.
Her foster family mm-hmm. Who have porned her out. And he discovers that she's been in some pornos.
Over, because he overhears her conversation with her sister.
Yeah. And he knows he's listening in
her
on it.
Sister, I don't know quite.
And it's not like he accidentally was walking by and heard. He, like, once he heard that she was talking, he, like,
eavesdropped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then he
invaded
spends
her privacy.
Yeah.
Hours trying to find
for the,
her
the, for
the
next
porn.
Month.
Yeah, he's
he
basically
doing
every waking
but...
hour watching porn.
Oh my
god! In their main living space, 24/7,
trying to find the porn she's in,
yeah. And he's mad at her because she just won't tell him, and so she is wasting his time making him watch all this porn.
When
in
she
their
just
private,
tell him.
Yeah. She's making him do
but
this.
Here's my favorite, one of many favorite lines is Warren's like, time flies when you're watching porn.
Yeah.
Totally loses track of time. Like, this is all he does.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, 20-year-old.
So this is just
boy.
One of the, yeah. like, there's just tension between these two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they mess with each other a whole lot. They're constantly mean pranking each other.
Yeah. And it's not ha-ha funny pranking. It's mean pranking.
I remember in my early, like my college years, like for the little bit of time before I was, you know, knocked up and married. That's not how it went. I want
no, she was, she was definitely married before
Where's
she
a
got
good
pregnant.
Reason.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but I loved the pranking. Like, I was a prankster on everyone and still to this day.
Lisa and I, we were neighbors. We would April Fool's prank each other all the time. Like, I put her house on the market and...
Like, poor roommates got pranked by me nonstop.
Yeah.
Like,
Lisa,
my guy friends, everyone
Lisa
gets
snuck
pranked.
Into my house and switched out the toothpaste with mayonnaise.
I mailed her Reese's peanut butter cups
with
that
hot,
were, like,
hot
had
sauce.
A hot Tabasco in. Pretending like it was, like, a survey for some new flavors.
Oh, that is so funny.
She's
I planted bulbs.
Oh, that
time.
Was the best one. Yes.
What
and they,
did you
they popped up. They popped up on April 1st. I kid you not. It's like, are those tulips
Where
is somebody eating crocuses. Grass?
And they were
in her grass? In her grass?
No, they were tulips.
And the reason I did this was because the year before, Valerie went crazy on the bulb scene. She had bought like 500
yes,
bulbs.
Yes, I did.
300 to 500 bulbs.
Yeah.
Was
and planted them
freaking everywhere. And I'm like,
because I finally got all my hardscape done.
I'm actually
like, you wonder, like, wow, did I? No, this is what makes me so mad because I got all my hardscape and I got all my perennial hardscape down. I had my yard perfect like that.
Yeah.
Everything was perfect, so I was finally like, yes, I can finally go and do my bulbs. So I layered them so they would come up in, you know, so I would have all the spring color and all the different things, mm-hmm. and they were perfect. Like, these at 8 inches, these at 6 inches, these at 4 inches.
Oh, yeah.
And then I had everything immaculately organized and planned. And
it was
all
over
was,
the top.
It was amazing. I had a really cute yard. I kept it cute.
Yes.
And so.
She was so excited about it, so I'm like.
Yeah, but then the moose came through and ate all of the tulips and trashed not only all of the bulbs that I had planted, but all of my perennials. And he ruined my yard and I had to redo it.
Oh, mm-hmm. Except for the ones that Lisa planted.
They were fine.
No, yeah, they were in the grass. Fine. They popped up like daisies, but they were tulips in the grass. And it was so funny because like a few days before April 1st, I'm like, what is this? This looks like there's like tulips. I'm like, and so I was mowing around them.
She totally was.
And then seriously, on April 1st, the flowers opened up and I'm like, this is insane. And Lisa's like, ha ha. And I'm like, oh, good long game. But oh. I have to say, I really loved when I put all, when Diana and I got the neighbors next door on both sides to let us use their outlets too. And we got everybody's inflatable blow up Christmas decorations.
So when I woke up
on April 1st, and we live right across the street from the school,
covered in like Christmas blow up things.
Yes, like huge Christmas blow up things everywhere, all over the yard for everyone to see as they're dropping their kids off for school.
Yeah, she's put crime scene tape up.
Oh, yes. Chalk drawings.
For cell signs.
I know. I love that. And I made it just the perfect price, too, because it was like, well, this could be real.
Oh, my gosh. So many photos.
Well, I'm looking at a picture right now. It's a picture of a family of cats.
Oh, yes.
That, like, the picture is there's, like, a mom and a dad. And two kids, and they've got clothing on.
Yes. There's cat family.
It's a cat family. Yes,
and I hid it in her house and waited for her to find it. Because she and I have a cat and dog feud.
Yes, we have a cat and dog feud. Yeah. Like, I'm a cat person. She's a dog person. But we both don't, you know, like, I like dogs too. More than you like cats.
I'm getting to like cats because of your cute little kitten. Over
I know,
there,
isn't my kitten? I have a kitten on my lap right now. Cute. The survivor kitten who I almost killed. And so then I found him underneath my house trapped. And then I beat him
She's
back to life
back
and
to life.
Bottle fed him. And now I have a cat again, which I wasn't going to have another cat. But
you
now
weren't.
I have a cat.
Well, you're just a
I
cat.
I can't imagine you not keeping that at this point.
No.
Right? Look at him.
No.
It's asleep right now in Valerie's arm. She's just cuddling it. So cute.
Yeah.
So these two are pranking each other. They hate each other, but do they really? That's the question.
Yeah.
You know, Warren decides, I think at some point he decides he needs to, maybe he's going to try a different tactic.
Uh-huh.
And start being a little nicer to her.
Mm. Yes. Yeah.
And there's a lot of sexual tension and teasing
Absolutely.
Between them. Because they find each other both attractive.
Well, and they think they're both really good-looking people.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
they probably are. That's why he's got a big ego.
He has a very big ego.
When does that...
So, at one point, he tells her, like, I fuck like I'm Thor. Just so
like,
you know.
You're
like,
missing out.
Yeah.
Which is... Probably all of our favorite line.
Yeah, we were all listening to this story at the same time, and about at the same time, we're all texting each other. He fucks like Thor.
He's kind of being yeah. the Thor book.
For us, for like the next month, when you're hanging out with us, like we could be talking about tomatoes, and we'd be like, "And they fuck like Thor."
That's true.
Like the ego of this guy. He says
and
he fucks like Thor.
And then he tells her, if you have sex with me, you're the one in danger of becoming clingy.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, no. So they hate each other, but they also want each other.
So like, I can't remember. How do they end up fucking the first time? Because it's definitely fucking.
I feel like it wasn't planned.
It was just
the sexual tension was so high that they just... couldn't stand it anymore. And
we just need to do this.
Yeah.
Get it out of our system.
Yeah.
And Warren does have an amazing time because she makes it all about
him. Their first time.
Yeah.
She's like, she looks down and says to him, well, this explains your big ego.
Which, you know, like... As far as game goes, this guy is such a cocky ass. Like, that was such not a good move for her,
in
this situation, just because that just, like, you just gave him power. Because this is
His
not
head
a healthy
just
relationship.
Grew 10 times.
Yeah, this is not a healthy relationship. Let's
oh
just
my gosh.
Get that off our chest. Warren, you know, even the prefaces of this book and stuff like that is kind of BS, too. It's because that book... you know, synopsis is all written from a misogynistic.
Yes.
Cocky.
But I think the Colleen encapsulates a total.
Oh, misogynist. She does a great job.
So she does a great job. Yeah.
But it's really funny to read the book cover that's written from
it
his perspective
like
of himself.
Yeah.
He's not charming. He's a total self-centered dick.
He thinks he's the biggest charmer on the planet.
It's funny. He thinks he's funny and charismatic because he says he's funny and charismatic and he pulls these pranks. But when other people pull pranks on him, he doesn't take pranks well. He can't handle it.
Yeah.
He also, you know, he's mean. Like, he thinks he's it's funny when he does something mean, but it's mean when someone else does the same thing to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, he's such,
he's a beautiful person. And I just, I wonder what it would be like to, like, have that headspace where you're like, I'm so beautiful. Like, I'm untouchable.
I think I have the opposite problem.
Yeah. Like, it's hard for me to, like, relate to that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, you know, and I keep, so their relationship progresses. They're mm-hmm. having sex all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And she's beginning to like him. And I kept thinking, why?
Yeah.
He's a barista, kind of.
Yeah.
He's
kind of a
manager, kind of.
We don't even know what he's going to school for.
We don't even know what he's going to school for. He doesn't offer anything to this relationship.
Except he watches a lot of porn. And,
well, because he
and
needs to see her
he
porn.
Likes to,
he's just trying
he
to
likes
be supportive.
To,
yeah.
He likes to prank people, but he can't actually take a prank himself.
Yeah.
And he tells us how wonderful he is all the time.
Yet she is. Okay, so she's beautiful. Mm-hmm. She is working super hard at Hooters.
Oh, yeah.
To
crazy
pay for school. Because what I forgot what she's going to school for. She's got psychologist or something like
that.
Yeah.
And she's working really hard. Mm-hmm. And she's a nice person.
Yeah. She's a nice person now. She's not nice to him, but he's not nice
well,
to her.
Well, she's just, it's self-defense for her.
Yes.
And
she's
after
got
their
a
first sexual encounter, like, he really truly, and this is another line in the book, he truly believes that every human has a weakness. And I think I just discovered what hers is. Me.
Yeah.
Like, so he's just so full of himself. And,
he
oh,
is.
God.
Everything he
awesome.
Does. Like, and I love that, to me, it's just so horrifying to me how he says, he's constantly insulting her. She's
mm-hmm.
horrible. She's cold. She's mean. She's this. She's that. She's just this terrible. And I need to make her a better person. And I can make her a better person because she's so horrible. He's labeling her these things that, no, she's just reacting to your dickhood.
And he thinks he's so nice because he's like, I really want to pleasure her now. She won't.
Yeah.
She only pleasures me. But it's, I
but she
I
won't
really
ever come to me. Why is that?
Yeah, like, oh, yeah, she won't.
I've got an amazing dick.
Yeah.
I'm an amazing lover. So you know what? Because my ego can't handle her not having an orgasm, I'm going to make sure that she has an orgasm and that she learns to open up enough to let her have an orgasm.
And then we find out that Bridget does have kind of a, she's had a hard childhood, which
mm-hmm.
lends itself
so
to
she's
her
been through
being,
the foster system.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
She yeah. And
she's been and
a real
she's,
family solid home.
Yeah. Her value in life has basically been through her sexuality, her appealingness to other people, which, you know, the porno industry stuff and the things.
So she's
learned
to
perform. Yeah. She's learned to perform sexually in order to get validation and stuff. So sex to her is not about enjoying herself and relaxing. It's a way to earn her
value. Yeah.
And
yeah.
worth.
And to pay for the food on the table.
Yes. And whether it's working at Hooters
or making
porno or trying to, you know, ease a relationship with this roommate who's so aggressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they both have some things to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
Hers is, like, how to overcome her intense sex appeal, and he needs to learn how to let go of his big ego.
Yes, that's what they actually both need to figure out.
Which is, I think, mostly located in his crotch area. His big ego.
His big ego.
Which this book brings to light over and over and over again. There's
it's really, I mean, and I have to say, she does a good job of writing the sexy times. And, like, she really does a great job of writing a
sex scene.
Yeah, a sex scene.
Yeah.
And also writing from the viewpoint of a totally self-absorbed 20-year-old
male.
Yeah. Like, I have to say, he's
I didn't find the character relatable, but he was probably pretty darn accurate.
He was like, pretty darn accurate. And his viewpoint of himself is probably, unfortunately, my biggest problem with the story is the fact that we're pretending that he's a nice guy when he's not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's not. He's not a good person. And I hate the fact that we go through the book saying that she's been the bad guy the whole time.
So,
and that that book supports that. But from his viewpoint, that's what it is.
That's what it is.
And so she does a really good job of writing.
Maintaining the characters.
Yeah. It just pisses me off that society accepts that treatment of her.
Yeah. Well, I wonder. I don't know. He loves the arrangement that they have going on.
Because
they're
like,
they're not friends, but they're definitely sexually benefiting each other. And then he's got this line where he says, I'll hit all the humans if it means keeping up the arrangement I've got going with her.
Well, and why wouldn't it be? He doesn't have to do anything to emotionally support her. He has convenient, easy sex. So when he's not watching porn, he can just fuck her. At home. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to take her on dates or anything. She goes on a date with another guy.
But does she... Okay, before that happens, a girl moves in.
Oh, yes.
Another random girl.
Yes.
Who I don't recall, like, why she moved in.
Yeah, probably because, it's a short-term, you know, no one's paying rent except for...
Yeah, someone's got to pay the rent.
Someone's got to pay the rent.
So this girl moves in. They're just hanging out watching something on TV.
Yeah, and it could have even been his porn was on and she, like, sat next to him for a minute.
Awkward. Just met you. Let's watch a porn together.
Yes.
But so she realizes for the first time ever, Bridget, mm-hmm. that she's kind of maybe a little jealous that he's maybe developing a relationship with another girl.
Exactly, yeah.
And so to counteract that, mm-hmm. she's like, well, I'm going to make him jealous and see how that feels.
And she goes on a real date.
So he starts playing off with this other girl,
and they
kind of, because they were not nice to each other the first time they met, those two females.
Yeah.
They're both alpha cats, I'm guessing, and that's a thing. So she decides that she's going to make Warren jealous too.
Yes, exactly.
So she finds a really nice guy that actually treats her well,
goes on a date,
and then brings him home.
Yes.
And for Warren to witness.
Mm-hmm.
And Warren is extremely jealous. He wants to get rid of this guy.
Oh, yeah.
So
this guy has to go to the bathroom.
He has to go to the bathroom. But Warren intentionally goes in there and he puts, like, tux pads, hemorrhoid cream.
And stuff to yeast infection stuff.
That she's just this disease freak.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't say that, but yeah.
No, but that's what he totally does.
Yeah. You don't want to mess with this bitch.
Yes, exactly.
Because he would hit all the humans in the world.
Oh, yeah.
To keep this arrangement. Why
wouldn't he? It's perfect for him. He gets a hot chick. He doesn't have to do any work for it. Mm-hmm. He can insult her and doesn't have to put anything into it.
So the guy goes into the bathroom. He's like, it's nice knowing you.
Yeah.
I'm out.
And he quickly leaves. We're just like, what was that?
Yeah, and then she goes in the bathroom and sees.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So they're kind of, they haven't figured out yet that they actually maybe like each other.
But then Warren also, like, once again, Warren kind of plays it off like, haha, aren't I funny and great?
Uh-huh.
I'm so funny.
But she's actually hurt because she's like, I could have had a good relationship.
Yeah, that guy was actually nice to me. He actually took me out on a date and did stuff. So Warren, being, you know, the perfect, amazing man that he is, finally decides, oh, well, maybe I need to, like, if I want to keep my arrangement going and get my, maybe I need to, like, do something with her outside of the house or something like that. So I'm going to take her on this. I'm going to take her out to run my errands.
Mm-hmm. Which is really big of him.
Which is so, I'm going to bless her.
With
my presence to run my errands.
And he kind of lets her in on his, like, family
life.
Yeah.
Family
he
life
plays
a little
the
bit.
Family card.
Yeah, yeah. He plays a family
he's
card.
He's like, I'm a great uncle.
Yeah,
but
sure.
I just have to stop by my sister's house real quick.
Which we never even know as readers that he has a sister until he needs to stop by her house.
Until it's convenient
because
for him.
He's obviously such a loving, caring guy who's such a family man because that's what he wants to portray to her.
Yeah.
That we just find out about the sister when he needs us to have it.
I will say, when I first met Brad, and he talked about his family so much. He talked about his nieces and nephews. You could tell that he just adored his family and loved them. That was so hot.
It is so hot.
He totally played that card.
Yeah, no.
But I don't know if he did it with good intentions.
Well, my ex-husband.
I'm not saying Brad, Warren in this book.
Oh, no.
Brad,
I don't think he did. I don't get it. No,
he
just
loves his family.
Yeah. No, adored Brad him. Does. Yes. And Brad is. Like, Brad's family is tight and close. You guys were there. Yeah. You know, yesterday, like, you know, they help each other out. It's love. It's all love. That's legit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's totally. Who he is. You know, he's,
loves his family. Mm-hmm. I think that there's nothing hotter to a girl than a guy who, like, loves children, loves their family. Like, it's pretty.
Yeah, actually. And, like, the guy who, like, plays with the puppy, like, really plays with the dog or really plays with the kid. Yeah. That is the hottest, best thing ever.
Yeah, it's funny when they walk in, his nephew, like, doesn't he they play shoot 'em up, and the kid's like, Warren shoots him and he plays dead, and the kid's plays dead the whole time they're there. As they're leaving, he's still playing dead in the hall.
Oh, that's adorable. Kids.
Well, okay, but who hasn't done the hide and go? Like, kids, let's play hide and go seek when they need to get the dishes done as a mom.
Yeah.
Okay, you hide and I'll come and find you.
You never did that.
As you're doing the dishes, oh, they're not in the closet over here. Oh, okay, well, I'm going to go look downstairs. You're doing the dishes. Oh,
that
man.
Not.
Wow. Are they in this box? Nope, they're not in the box. Oh, are they under the couch? No, they couldn't fit under the couch. You never did that?
Never.
I didn't do that, but I'd make the boys run around the house. Yeah. Like, I'd say, okay, oh, my God. Okay, you two go outside and run around the house 10 times before
they would
you can come back in. They'd go twice. They're like, can we come in? Nope. You still have 7 more times. Get out there and run around the house 7 more times.
That's funny.
I try and get as much done as I possibly could while they were running around the house.
Oh, the trick. I would have them help me, and I'd be like, oh, let's see if we can do this the fastest. We'd have, like, a countdown and make a game out of it. I used the slave labor I could.
When I did that, it was when I could not stand them anymore. I'm like, you have to get out.
Get
out of here, out of my sight. I'm like, I can't stand you another minute.
Oh, my God.
Go outside.
Like, we were raised in the generation, I mean, we're Gen Xers. Our parents, like, said,
I'm a millennial, sorry.
That's true. Okay, well, Courtney and I were, like, pushed outside, the doors locked.
Well, I think Lisa was not that, but she was.
Yeah, exactly.
I was raised with that mentality.
Yes, exactly.
My mom did not know where I was, obviously.
I know. Okay, can we just share a
she
moment?
Would, like, well, wait, she would I go do. Outside when
remember.
It was, like, getting
oh,
okay,
later.
And she was like, kids, come home.
Yeah.
That's how we knew it was time to come home.
Yeah.
She had no idea what we were doing all day, every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were just allowed to explore. Which
that's
amazing.
You were raised like
well,
a Gen
were
Xer.
You got,
oh, yes.
You
children of the 70s and 80s. Yeah.
Lisa
yeah.
and I were raised in Utah, which is a Mormon
town. The safest place.
A lot of children. So our neighborhood,
or so
you know, within like 5 families, there was a gazillion children.
Oh my gosh.
And,
just kids crawling everywhere.
But it was fun because
You
know, you could go outside, you'd have your bicycle gangs.
Oh my
know,
gosh,
just,
the dirt hills?
Yeah.
So I lived in the dirt hills. So the dirt hills were a place like between the houses where like just dump trucks went and just dumped the dirt.
Oh, yeah.
But we got it packed down pretty good. So it was like pretty freaking awesome bike trail.
Yeah.
And if you could make it up that first hill, you were golden. But, like, you didn't really, like, plan very well, but you didn't want to ever go home. So we, like, literally lived off the land. Like, we had the – I called them cheesies. They were, like, things that grew in the sidewalk cracks.
Cheesies?
Oh, my gosh. Seriously?
So there were some kind of a weed thing. They grew out pretty flat and even, but every so often there'd be like this little button type thing that was wrapped in leaves.
I know. Okay. No, I know what you're talking about. Yes.
And you just pop the little button out and pop it in. And like when you get hungry, you'd go,
oh my God.
I would eat that honey stuff.
I don't know if that is. Yeah. That's what I call them.
Well, you didn't get poisoned. I'm so you're here fine.
Today. There's no way but Jesus.
Well, there's always a vacant lot where there was always like some vacant lot where you just take your little bikes and just.
The honeysuckles. We
had, like, our neighborhood, we had pretty deep backyards, and my was neighbors with my brother's 5 years younger than I am. And our neighbors had three little boys that were my brother's age. Uh-huh. And they had a pool. So my brother and
like an actual in-ground swimming pool?
Yeah, they did.
Whoa. Oh, they were like ritzy.
You were in the bougie hood.
No,
look
I
at
wasn't.
You.
It was odd. Like you would never know this house had a pool. It was an odd.
It was like horse properties here.
Yes. But our backyard, they had all of these trails. Like they would go, they could climb up the tree onto the garage. Then the neighbors put like little, like steps or like, I don't know.
In Utah, little road rats
so that they could go down, scale down the other side. So we had our yards were connected in this weird way. Like we had neighbors that lived down the street. They were homeschooled but I don't know if they really went to school. Like, I don't know what they did. I do know that the boys that were older than us dug holes all day. And they had this
Were they on meth? I'm just kidding.
No, it was the craziest thing. Their parents had no idea. But they had
You told me about this.
It went straight down into like tunnels with big rooms.
They were like little moles?
Yes.
Mole children?
They were.
They could have totally died.
Was hidden by a bush. So like you go behind this bush and then you go down this like hole.
Were there like little indentations like a ladder for them to get in and out?
Yep, you go down. And then they dug it was like a room. And then they like another tunnel into another room. I can't remember. It was just, So anyway, that's our generation. That's what we were doing when we were kids.
Well, do you remember that was also like, your grandparents always bought you a flashlight for, Christmas too.
Oh, yeah. There's probably flashlights. I have no idea how their parents had no idea that was going on in their back. Like, where's all the dirt? Like, where were they putting that dirt from those holes?
There must have been a lot of dirt. That is so freaking cool.
Honestly, do you just remember the forts you used to build, the death trap forts? You know, like you'd be like
snow forts or
those too. But the treehouse forts and the forts you'd build at base. We would go. It's crazy. We all didn't have tetanus all the time because you would just go and so we would go to this field and people would dump garbage in the field sometimes. So we would just go through these bags of crap and then pull crap from over here and then we do our kid engineering to create our places there's a nail on this and we'll just hit it really hard with that rock against this other board to try to see if we can get this old rusty nail
just
to go
slap
into this
the
other
boards together see if they stick
and then we'll just stick it up here on this we'll climb up this tree thing and kind of put this
and we survived.
We did. Yeah.
So many broken bones.
I know. You know what? The only bones I had broken, other people broke for me.
Oh, shit. I think I broke twice, but I never went and got it checked out.
Yeah. I
just couldn't move my arm for a couple months.
And our parents didn't notice these things. Our parents didn't notice it when our arms didn't work.
Here's a little cough and just
when your fingers were totally broken.
This is adult child protective services nowadays would be called.
Like your parents would say
everything that ever happened.
No child protective services over my house quite often.
Oh, really?
Growing up. Yeah.
I actually think they were called on us too.
Yeah. I think they just traveled the neighborhood and just swung by everyone's houses.
About it.
No, they never did anything.
Yeah, it was cool.
You just talk and they're
like every
they'd
other
ask
family.
You, is everything okay? And you'd be like, yeah, we're fine.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, we're
this
just
is all we
on
know.
You kids.
This is great.
Yeah,
it was
kind of freaking awesome.
Yeah. My brother and his friends, the little neighbor boys. My mom worked all summer, so
yeah,
I was, I guess, basically
in
charge.
You told me the one time where your brother in the ditch, he was sick.
Oh, that one. Yeah. Yeah. That says it all. But so they, my mom's an artist, and her friend did all this artwork in tile. So she was moving, and my mom was storing all this tile in our garage, like boxes and boxes of tile. So, I mean, I was supposed to be in charge, but I was out.
How old were you when you were in charge?
I was 10,
9 or 10 when I was put in charge of my 5-year-old brother. Uh-huh. Yeah. So
I was babysitting after school every day when I was 10 for a dollar an hour.
My God, I couldn't have imagined my anyway.
I can't imagine getting paid.
No. <Not interpreting. laughs>
But so I think my mom was doing yard work and realized that this bush that went along the whole back of our yard, that my brother and his friends had taken the clippers and clipped out the whole inside of the bush and laid tile on the ground. Took the tile from the boxes and tiled the ground. And my mom, you know, was like, oh, well, you've got to put the tile back because
it doesn't belong to us.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's so freaking cool. So creative.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, anyway back to our story.
My cat's going to come visit you, I think, Lisa.
Oh, cool. I can handle it. Your cat's adorable. Back to the story. So I think we kind of want to leave it at that.
Yeah,
because,
I think
Warren's trying to show her what a great guy he is and that he has overcome his giant ego. And she, you know, I think he got her to orgasm. So she's obviously overcome this terrible trauma.
Yes, obviously. She had an orgasm finally.
She finally lets him pleasure her.
Yeah. Yeah. So
which is
she's
big
all
for,
better.
Which is big her. For, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Big but she could relax enough in a sexual situation to accept pleasure.
Yeah.
Means that in his world that she's finally warmed up and isn't a bitch anymore. And
because
he can overcome his bitchness.
And this is why he believes it, because she kissed him on the cheek, and that kiss on the cheek means we're official.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we'll let you guys read it and figure out how they overcome these things and they end up together.
So I think what we kind of came up with, that we kind of enjoy this rating system to kind of discuss, like, how real is this book or movie or are they realistically the kind of people that would ever get together?
I can see them hooking up.
Let's go up. Do you guys want to introduce the scale?
Yeah, let's introduce the scale.
Of kind of, would they ever realistically get together? One, not going to happen. Two, just not very likely. Three, neutral, could go either way. Four, very likely.
Yeah.
Four, five, it's pretty well destined.
I would say for a hookup, there are four, in my opinion. Because I think the chances
of... The stage in life,
they're both these hottie, they're both hot people. They're put in a roommate situation with some sexual tension and some proving each other. They need to, you know, so their egos are stroked. They're not they're both very sexual people put in a place with another hot sexual person where they have ego proving that they need to happen. So I think it's very likely that they would.
I think I'm right on board with that, which we don't always agree, but
I agree that I agree with that too.
Yeah.
I think you're going to fuck.
Very likely to fuck, at least.
Yeah.
They have
a relationship.
Yeah.
What does that mean to you?
Well, that is the next
Well,
next
how long
question.
Do we think their relationship is going to last? So we kind of chose this scale. And let's explain why we chose each of these different tiers.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Idea.
So one day, this is just a total, like, hookup situation. They're really not. They don't care for each other at all.
Yeah.
Basically sex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all sexy. Then the next one, 3 months. Mm-hmm. So why did we choose 3 months? That's
because
just kind
usually
of like
you kind of get to know somebody, like, their true colors sometimes in 3 months. And
then you can move on. Like,
you're like,
it's a short relationship.
You're like, either like or decide, hey, this is somebody
that maybe is more than a one-night stand.
Yeah,
but
I like them. Or you're like, oh, no.
yeah, like,
but you do figure out we're not compatible.
Or it's that one night stand that you're like, well, I don't really want to have a one night stand, so let's just see.
Let's just see where this goes.
Yeah, let's just see where this goes, kind of a thing. And then it ends up being, you know, something a little bit different on it.
Yeah.
When, okay, so the next part of the scale is 2 years. Mm-hmm. In 2 years is a lot of people, they get in, they might not be engaged at 2 years. That's kind of the make or break of we're going to like solidify this relationship. Yeah. I think it's 2 years.
Yeah, we're either going to move in together, we're going to, you know.
It's a shit or get off the pot.
Engagement.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. 2 years is a shit or get off the pot
phase
in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. I agree. So that's why we chose 2 years. Shit or get off the pot.
Well, you know.
And then we chose 7 years because like we all know about the seven-year itch.
Yeah. Where you're just sort of like,
yeah,
I really thought this is what I wanted, but is this really, you know, is this really what I want, you know, are we still engaged with each other? Usually, you know, if a lot of times, you know, okay, we've gotten together, we've had our babies, our kids are past that toddler needy stage.
Yeah.
And now it's like, okay, are we a relationship still?
Yeah. Yeah. If you've had children at that point, but yeah, there's definitely the 7 year itch is legit. One other thing I wanted to say about the shit or get off the pot phase.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I think we chose 2 years is because, like, they talk about in different, like, what is that book? The Five Love Languages?
Uh-huh.
He talks a little bit about the two-year shelf life for that, like, insane chemistry phase in a, in a relationship where you're just crazy in love and you can't see the shit in the pot.
Mm-hmm.
So I think after that two-year phase, you're like, oh.
This is reality.
I think that's another reason. Like, 2 years is a big...
Well, and I also think that even if, you know, you have an open relationship, you have to go, okay, I agreed to X, Y, Z. I thought I could handle X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
Can I really? You know, like, I thought I'd be okay with the fact that you dress up in women's underwear.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't think that that would really bother me. But now that we're together and I've, you know, been around you just in having women's underwear...
For two years.
You know what? I thought I'd be, I thought I'd be cool with it, but I'm really not, you know?
Yeah. Can
you dress up like a clown instead?
No, I'm just cheesy. I think the 7 year, so level 4, 7 year phase, I think if you make it past that first 7 years, because I really think I've just noticed this in my own lifespan, because I think how long we've been married, 20, gosh, I have to do math now. 21 years.
Mm-hmm.
So we're, oh my gosh, we're at the 7 year cycle again. So every 7 years or so, we kind of have this cycle
think
where
you're
I think you're right.
Think you're right.
Interesting.
Like, yes. Do you guys notice that pattern? Like we really.
Maybe. Let's see. Where am I?
So
at 28.
Do the math.
Well, I was married in 99. Where, so
that's, you're coming up on 25 years.
Okay. Wow. That's a long time.
Yeah, that is. Years. That's like a big deal.
But in, but you and Ben dated for a while before that too.
We were together 5 years before that. So let's see.
Five plus 21.
I was 23 and I'm 53 now. So that's 23
and 43. Yeah, that's 30 years.
Okay, so we're 30 years. My goodness. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a long time.
Damn, girl.
Adrian and I broke up.
We passed the 25 to life, but I'd say,
there's a cycle, though.
Adrian and I broke up on after being together 28 years. Right before 28 years is when I finally pulled the plug on him.
So that's kind of, I feel like, why we did the 25 to life. Because there's just, at 25 years, this is another huge make it or break it. Ish, give or take, because
your
a lot of people
are
in a stage where if they've had children, their kids are now leaving the nest.
Yeah.
And empty nesting is one of the biggest
breakup times. Yeah, because you raise your kids. That's when I got out.
Yeah,
well, we're kind of going through that right now, and you can see how
we're at the 25 to life stage.
Well,
yeah,
I feel since I am in this space right now, 25, like kids moving on, mm-hmm. is you put so much energy into your kids.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you forget about your spouse.
Yes.
Oh, and so, yeah, that's why this
and
is such a common
thing. Both people are doing that.
Yeah, you meet your spouse again and decide, do we want to be with each other now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, you have more time. Like, you suddenly have... That's why this podcast is happening, because we have
time. At this point in our lives, like 10 years ago, we would have done it.
Yeah, but we had no time.
Well, we were talking about trying to do it, but we were like so busy with life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. With kids. I mean, they take up a lot of time.
Oh, they still do. Are you kidding me?
They do in a different way.
It is different. I still constantly worry about them.
Oh, I don't know if that'll ever change.
Yeah, that's not going away. So that's that scale, which is kind of a fun one. Do you guys want to kind of talk about what we think the longevity of Warren and Bridget's relationship is going to be?
2 years.
I think 2 years.
I was only going to give 3 months.
Kind of done 3 months. Maybe the three. They're almost at 3 months, sort of.
Yeah, because I think his big ego is quite large.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And he needs to explore with that ego a little bit more.
I feel like she's going to do more growing.
Yeah, I hope she ditches him as soon as she finishes her degree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the psychology degree is going to help her enlighten her a little bit.
I think their personal growth scale is she is going to now, since she's kind of gotten past some stuff, she's going to grow exponentially.
I agree. She's going to outgrow him.
Because she's going to school. Yeah. She's in psychology. And he's just kind of like going to go slow.
And he's a jerk.
He's just, it's going to take a long time.
I'd give him 3 months.
Yeah.
That's
fine. I hope it's only 3 months, but she's broken enough. I think it'll take her 2 years to get out.
You think? I want to hope for the 3 months. Okay. Last one. Spiciness. We want to rate the book's spiciness levels. So this one, level one, green pepper. Like, we can all handle a green pepper. Right? Yeah. I watch green peppers with my kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I watch ghost peppers with my kids. I don't care. No. That's so awkward. So green pepper, level one. Next spice level, jalapeno. And then we've got cayenne. And then habanero and ghost. So how hot and heavy do these books get? So this book.
And green pepper is like you can watch with your parents or your children. Ghost is absolutely it shows
you're
hearing and watching.
Is Ghost
like
a straight porn at this point?
Pretty much, I would say.
yeah
okay. Jalapenos, just a little excitement, a lot of sexual attention, I think, in a jalapeno.
Yeah, you've got
maybe
sex.
Not too racy.
Yeah, there is a sex scene.
Sex, but things are kind of, I'd say there's sex, but that's not, the whole movie's not sex.
Yeah.
Maybe cayenne is, there's sex, but things are covered. You might see a boob here and there or something like
that. Yeah,
I think an anteater comes out in the habanero.
I love Courtney has a thing. You're going to hear anteater a lot and it's awesome.
And you'll see. We'll just leave it at that.
My cat is
biting. The cat is just going crazy on me. You get the mouse. You don't get me. You cannot have this.
You can't handle the
And ghost pepper. Yeah, straight porno at this point. So I'd say this was a habanero to me.
Yeah.
There was a lot of explicit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, she talks about him sliding in and out of her. And, wincing when he puts himself inside of her. Like, it's very graphic.
Because he's so big.
Got a big ego.
Big ego. Have you guys... Never mind.
Sorry, wants to go down the sexy road. sexy times. So, I'm saying habanero. Where are you guys?
Yeah,
I think there's such a thing as too big.
Whoa. She went there. She just went there.
Yes.
Well, I don't know. I'd have to think about that.
I've been afraid before.
I've only been with
one person before.
I've said no before.
Oh my gosh. How would that be?
You don't think there, you think there is.
I think
you're like,
I've
you
said
say
no
your
before.
Ego
I've
is
said,
way too big for me.
Your ego, yeah, I've said no before because I'm like, that looks like
giving birth.
So do you think that
it's going to be fun?
I did it twice. Don't need to do it again.
So I think that's an interesting thing. What, you know, for some women, what is that appealing? Like, just do some women be like, yeah, I, or is that only a man in a man's brain?
Too small definitely can happen.
I know.
Yeah, you don't want anything too small. But
there's a book out there, and I can't recall it. It exists in this world, and if somebody can find it, I would find it intriguing. It's like a memoir of a man who has a dick that's too big. A bick? That's too big.
A dick? Oh my gosh, can we call it that from now on? He has a bick.
A bick dick.
He's got a bick. We know what that means. It's big.
Yeah.
It's big and dick combined.
Yeah, and that's the memoir, is like how hard it is for him to get laid, because it's terrifying to women. And that's his memoir. And if someone can find it and tell me all about it,
that's awesome.
I'm curious.
I'm gonna, like,
I guess it's a problem.
I would think it would be.
The problem is real.
It's real.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Also, like, how do you not pass out when you get that thing going up?
Oh, geez.
I know. Yeah, all that blood flow.
There's only so far.
Probably the brain's not getting a whole lot at this point.
I know. You're like,
and there's only so far that thing can go in, right? You know, it's like,
oh gosh, you. Guys. I love this. We could go on.
All right.
Let's talk about. Do we have a favorite line? I think we all agreed that I fuck like Thor.
Oh, that's
fuck like I'm Thor.
There's so many good lines, and this is like watching Monty Python's, you know, Holy Grail, where you're like, okay, when I just watch the whole movie, it's not like that
it's great, but the one-liners
are amazing.
She does great. Yes.
You just think he's normal sex for everyone.
It's true. I think I liked This Explains Your Big Ego.
Yeah, like, that's really good.
Because he was super excited to hear that. He's like, I think it probably doubled in size, his ego.
Yeah.
His ego. That is a euphemism.
And then and then he got lightheaded after that.
Oh my gosh, he passed out. Does this book matter? Is it engaging? Do we care or like the characters? I really didn't like Warren.
I
couldn't relate to
him. Lauren.
I didn't understand Bridget either. I thought, get your head out of your ass.
I wanted to Bridget's that girlfriend that you just want to bitch slap.
Yeah, like, girl, let's talk.
Yeah, and you're just sort of like...
I think I would like...
She needed a girlfriend.
I think I would like Bridget, like I said, later, after she's accomplished some things, grown a little bit, I think I would like her. But at this point, she's just really... Well, I mean, I feel sorry for her.
If I was in college, I might take her on as a project friend.
She would be intimidating because she's too hot.
She wouldn't be. Well... That's maybe. part. I don't know if we talked about this.
Because she didn't seem like she wasn't into her hotness.
I think hotness is intimidating. Like, if you're too hot for me, I'm gonna be like, oh, I'm just gonna look.
Really, well, I had some beautiful girlfriends, so I guess maybe I just didn't. I don't know. I guess maybe in life I'm just used to being second, so I'm like, whatever.
She is lonely, basically, and she is looking for family, friends, whatever. So I kind of feel bad for her.
And I actually think she's a good person.
Yeah.
I just think that she attracts the wrong people in her life.
Yeah.
She's been used for her hotness.
And then she gets told that she's a piece of shit by people like Warren, who are saying how great they are and how lucky she is to have them in her life.
Yeah. She's definitely got some... project.
And then would we recommend
potential.
This? Yeah. Would we recommend this book to anybody? And if we would, who?
I think it's for spicy. It's the girlfriend book.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it.
I don't know if
anyone.
I want my grandma and mom to read it. Maybe my sister.
I wouldn't recommend it to anyone.
I wouldn't either.
No, I didn't like it. It pissed me off. I hate because I feel like
the characters were super unreliable and just terrible. But I think that she stuck true to who they were.
Oh, she did. She did a great job writing it. Like, for what it was, she did a good job.
Yeah.
And for it being a novella where you don't get backstory, she did a great job.
We may have invented some backstory. Because I don't know how much of this backstory was actually in the book. I think we kind of embellished.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Because it was
a
novella
and
she didn't have
time.
Because it was left to us to kind of create...
because
a reason why they
care about them.
A reason for them to behave the way they did.
That's true.
Yeah.
I hated Warren, and I thought he was a terrible human being. And yeah. And then the thing, but the reason I hate him so much is because he's just.
But you wouldn't recommend it just for the entertainment one-liner factor.
Those were so funny. I'd rather just tell someone I read this book and
it's funny.
Here's the one-liners. Here's the one-liners that I like.
You're not going to get a whole lot out of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
The sex scenes weren't like...
They were habanero, girl.
They were habanero.
Did you rate it habanero? What was your rating again?
Well, there was nothing like... I guess for me, I'm just kind of like, I didn't learn anything from it. I learned more from Cosmo about, you know, like if I'm going to read a sex scene, I will like want to pick up pointers. I want to like, I read a sex scene. Like
it was they were very sensory sex scenes.
Yeah, they were. They were well
written. That's why.
They were good sex scenes. But like, I'm like, yeah, but there was nothing in there that was very like, there was no emotional connection to me, and it wasn't...
Because there wasn't enough backstory.
Yeah, because there wasn't enough. So there wasn't enough... There wasn't an emotional connection. There wasn't enough, fantasy of, oh my gosh, they don't really know each other, and it's kind of naughty in some ways. It's just like, no, these are just two hot, horny college students who you'd expect to hook up. And so it was kind of just like...
That's just what hot people do.
Kind of a little bit like that too, you know, there's like, you know, that's kind of like, so there was no like naughtiness for that. Like, oh, it's not even the professor and the student. There was no, you know, there was no intrigue. And then I didn't learn anything from the experience. Like I didn't like, oh, that's kind of an interesting technique. Or I kind of
place in life.
Yeah. So for me, I was just like, I mean, it was fine as a sex scene, but like it didn't make me hot when I read it.
Yeah, those books are fun.
Yeah.
We'll find one for you guys. It's out there.
It's out there.
So even though it was a habanero, it didn't make me hot. Like it wasn't one of those where I'm like, ooh,
well, then what Bob's doing right now. It's cayenne pepper. Because you can sprinkle that on your pizza. Maybe.
But I think it was well written and I think it was well done. But for me, it didn't turn me on. So, I mean, I guess maybe we need to have more discussions.
I kind of feel like it'd be fun to just open this up on our website for the people that read. Because we'd love for people to like read in advance and kind of follow along with the story as we're talking about it.
Yeah.
And just like, you guys rate it. See what you guys think about this.
Exactly. That would be, well, and also I think that's a different thing too, because, you know, like you never poo-poo someone else's happy.
Yeah.
So, like, what's going to make tingly on the inside is different than what's going to make you tingly on the inside.
Exactly.
Let's
take a poll.
I give it total credit for being a well-written. It's a well-written hot love scene.
Yeah.
It just didn't. And so that's why I think it's totally habanero. But maybe for a 20-year-old,
it would be a great love story.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's what this podcast is about. We're exploring all sorts of
a different ideal.
Yeah.
We're presenting it to you and you can decide whether you want to read it or not. If it's gonna be your type of book or movie
So I think I'm gonna make a poll happen for our rating.
I love that, Lisa.
I think that'd be so fun. So people go to our website.
Yeah.
We'll have a poll there. Let's see what we all think about
this. Yeah. And if you're really lucky, you can be like, hey, Lisa, dance on that poll.
I see Valerie dance on that poll and it's amazing.
She can do the splits
on the pole.
It's freaky.
The first time I saw you do that, I was like, damn.
And what's sad is there's been more than once.
My jaw dropped. And then I had to get married. The splits after that. I'm like,
Fishing with poles.
Karaoke and pole dancing. Valerie's very good at that.
Oh my god.
All right. This was fun. I'm glad we revisited this book. It was a good one.
I love seeing anything with you ladies.
Yeah, me too. You guys, if you enjoy this, we want to keep doing it. And rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff. Check our website out. Participate in the fun.
I'm so glad you do this every time because I always say rate, write, rate, write. writing something.
And I'm like, oh yeah, we've got to be responsible and organized. Oh yeah, do what Lisa said.
I'm a Virgo. So
yeah, cool. And what is our website?
Oh, so am I, but I'm obviously not as organized as you are.
And I'm just Cancer. I'm a crab. I'm a disease any way you think about it.
All right.
Thanks, you guys.
It's fun.
Bye. Love you all.
XOXO.